It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, the Iowa Braille Challenge took place over the weekend. We'll talk about why Braille is still important and relevant in the 21st century. We'll also meet one of the winners of this year's competition. But first, a lot of us remember the summer of 2012 well. The Midwest was blazing hot and in the middle of a terrible drought. In the midst of that heat, Stephen Cannon of Des Moines set out to become the first person to ever run all the way around Lake Michigan, 1,037 miles. He's written about his experience in the book 40 Days, and he is here with me now. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Charity, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
I can't believe I'm sitting in this studio. It's so surreal.
Well, speaking of surreal, 40 days around Lake Michigan is a pretty bizarre idea. Where did that idea come from?
In 2009, I had decided to try and run across the state of Iowa. And in doing so, you have a little bit of time on your hands to think. And so I had thought about what the next big adventure would be, and the lake really chose me. I have family. My sister and her children and husband live in Chicago, and one day I was just playing by Lake Michigan in a place called Indiana Dunes, beautiful place on the southern tip of Lake Michigan, just sitting there, just tired as all get out after running in that place, and I could not believe how big the lake looked. It just dwarfed Chicago from that view. And for whatever reason, I had the thought, I wonder if anybody's ever tried to run around this big sucker. And that's where it started.
So you did a little bit of research, and you became the first person to run all the way around Lake Michigan. But had it been attempted before? Do you know?
I don't think so. You know, it's funny. I have a good friend and mentor and hero to me, a guy named Marshall Ulrich. And he said, setting records isn't really that difficult if you just choose something dumb enough that nobody else would try it.
All right. Well, before talking about this journey, let's take a couple of steps back. You mentioned running across the state of Iowa, which is a pretty big run as well. Let's go back in time to when you first started running, because you haven't been a runner your whole life. What was your first running out, or what was your first event?
Well, my first event was a 5K in Manitou Springs, and I didn't run in high school, college, far from it. I probably spent more time running from the police, leaving a bar in Iowa City, than I did anything else. Got in a lot of trouble, but I had moved to Manitou Springs. I had the rock climbing bug, and quite honestly, I just decided it'd be a great way to meet girls. And so I signed up because I didn't know anybody, and I can remember that 5K, I thought I was going to die. It was 30-some minutes, and I really, if you'd have shown me my future at that point, I'd have told you you were crazy.
So what changed?
Really, the environment. I think all of us have the seed of adventure in us, and probably all of us that adventure at any level can look back and some event or some location inspired or watered that seed. And for me, it was being in Colorado. I was around these people that were doing crazy things, the Pikes Peak Marathon, running the Garden of the Gods, people just, it was just, for whatever reason, there was something in me. And being in that environment, it just flourished. And so, like all of us, I think once you accomplish one thing, you want to accomplish the next. And so I pushed and wanted to try a 10K and wanted to try a half marathon, and did a run in the Garden of the Gods. And each time I would have swore to you crossing the finish line that was it. That's as far as I ever wanted to go.
So what was it about crossing that finish line that left you wanting more? Do you know what it was about those experiences that meant so much to you?
You know, I talk about it in the book and every once in a while when I'm fortunate enough to share the experience with people. Each time you accomplish anything, whether it's a 5K or a project at work or whatever the case is, when you cross that finish line, it gives you a broader view of what's possible. You see a bigger picture of what you might be capable of. And so certainly there was no way I could see a run across Iowa when I crossed the finish line at that 5K in Manitou Springs, but it did let me see that maybe a 10K was possible. And from there, you're able to see that maybe a 10-miler in the Garden of the Gods is possible, and so on and so on. And that view, at least for me, was enticing. And I wanted to see what I was capable of. And there were a lot of people out there pushing the envelope that I owe a great thanks to, because they showed me what was possible when I didn't know was possible.
Now, there's a big difference between running a 5K or a 10K or even a half marathon and really putting in the kind of distance you need in training to run a marathon or to run an ultra marathon. As you started running longer distances, how did your running change?
I think really for me, the more I ran, the more it became less a physical experience and more a spiritual one. And when that happens, the distance kind of melts away. Certainly there's a physical component to it, but your body adapts, right? So I talk about that a lot, that really the process to running your first 5K is no different than running your first marathon. It's just you're just out there longer. But the longer distances, if running just is about time and PRs, then you lose the gift. You miss out on the gift. There's so much more available to us. And that's when running, walking, jogging, whatever you're doing, there's a great energy out there. And if you take a moment to soak it up, then you're in no hurry to be done. And that's really probably the transition from thinking how far I could go to more how far inside I could go, if that makes sense.
Well, you write about running as a kind of meditation for you. Try to describe for us what's going on in your head as on a good run when you're running a long distance.
Well, I'm not sure you really want to take a journey too deep inside my head, but the journey is amazing. It's practice like any meditation, but it's an active meditation. And you know, I start to just watch my thoughts, and in doing so, they slowly start to drift away, and then I just focus on my breathing, and you start to kind of become your breathing, and then you just start to connect. You start to feel the earth under your feet. You start to notice the breeze in the trees, and it's, you know, your mind drifts back to work or whatever the case may be. But over time, certainly across Iowa and definitely around Lake Michigan, the beauty of my surroundings became my music. I wanted nothing to do with cell phones or music in my ears. There was just so much out there, and you really it strips away everything, and you get down to the very, very basics and the best of you.
So you are trying to kind of empty your mind as you run.
Absolutely. It's such an interesting journey. You're emptying your mind, and then at the same time you're filling it up. There's so much that, and this is just in our day-to-day life, right? There's so much that you just go by that you don't notice. There's so many things that you take for granted, and just being able to, even on a really, really small level during your day, just take four deep breaths, realize where you are, realize how lucky you are to be in that place. And I was lucky enough to be able to do that for 40 days.
And for many more as you prepared for that journey as well. So once you ran across Iowa, that took you, what, 11 days?
11 days, yep.
After that experience, I know you connected with a lot of people while you were running across Iowa. You made a lot of friends. And you also got some really positive feedback. People started noticing you for doing this extraordinary thing. Is that part of what keeps you going as well?
The book is a thank you. When I ran across Iowa, I did it to raise money for the Live Strong Foundation. But truly, I was just doing it to see if I could do it. It was probably more about me than I'd even care to admit. But during that journey, and because I thought it would be more difficult to quit if I was doing it for a greater good, I met a lot of people that were in the cancer fight, whether they were in it personally or whether they had a child that was dealing with it. And so it changed my life. It changed everything about my life. It changed how I try to be more present, be more grateful that I have a body that will allow me to do this. I talk about the gifts of cancer. And it's amazing because you'll talk to people that have dealt with the disease, and many of them will tell you they wouldn't go back and undiagnose themselves if they could, because their life is now so much richer. And I was able to receive all of those gifts without going through that fight. And so I continue on doing this because I feel like it's how I give back. It's how I pay back, because all of those people showed me what was really, really important. And I've learned that the journey really changes me and my outlook on life in a better way as well. So my love of adventure is able to help others in need. And for me, that's just as good as it gets.
After running across Iowa to then take on Lake Michigan, that's so much bigger. Did you think about maybe just running across a wider state?
Again, the lake chose me. It was one of those things where I knew when I was sitting there in Indiana Dunes that this is what had to happen. And I formed a real bond with that lake and everything around it and the people I met on the journey. So I would have loved to maybe do something else, maybe not, but there was never any hesitation once the lake grabbed me.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment, and we will talk about that journey around the lake and some of the events that took place along the way. I'm talking with Steve Cannon. His book is 40 Days, My 1,037-Mile Run Around Lake Michigan. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the Iowa Braille Challenge that took place last weekend. But right now, we're talking about a very different kind of challenge. With me is Steve Cannon of Des Moines. He is also the author of 40 Days, My 1,037-Mile Run Around Lake Michigan. And he is the first person to run all the way around Lake Michigan. He did it in the summer of 2012. And all right, let's talk nuts and bolts of this journey. Once you decided that this is what you were going to do, then of course you had to make a plan. And this is not a simple thing. You can't just set out on your own to run all the way around Lake Michigan. You needed support. So how did you make this plan?
Well, first of all, I have to admit to the fact that geography wasn't my thing. So I didn't even know if it was possible. I didn't know if the lake was landlocked and if you could even get around it. So that was the first step. It turned out you can get around it. There's a really long, I don't know, it's like 3-4 mile long bridge on the northeast
Mackinac
corner.
Bridge.
Yeah, that separates, I think it's Lake Huron and Lake Michigan. And so I knew that was possible, found out how far around the lake it was, and divided that by 26, and it just turned out to be 40 days. And so that had a nice ring to it. I did, as you mentioned earlier, try to block out the fact that it was over 3 times further than I had ever journeyed before. I knew from what I had done before that to accomplish anything, whether it's just this run or anything in life, it was one step at a time. And so stay in the moment and deal with the things in front of you. And really from that point, I just wanted to identify the things that I had to do to get around the lake. I needed a support vehicle. I needed gas. I needed some sponsors. I needed a driver. But after those very basic things were done, I'm probably guilty of anything of underplanning a bit, because I don't want to try to micromanage the adventure. I want it to be able to unfold in front of me, and you can paralyze yourself by overplanning. You know, again, the run and the book, it's not really a running book. I mean, certainly it talks about the run, but it talks about a lot of other things that I think are applicable, and this is a perfect example. You can plan yourself into inaction. You know, you think you have to have everything. I think someone, I can't take credit for it, but someone had said, done is better than perfect. And so I certainly tried to look at that. I was fortunate. My good friend Marshall Ulrich had just run across the United States, and his coach was a guy named Ray Zahab. And talk about crazy, this guy was part of a team that ran 4,000 miles across the Sahara Desert. But he was kind enough to coach me, so I was ready to go.
You also found a companion to go with you on this journey. Tell me a little bit about your friend Jared. He'd also helped you out on the run across Iowa, but to take 40 days to drive an RV, to support somebody who's running 40 marathons in a row, to feed them, to make sure that they have they're hydrated enough, he washed your clothes, he made sure you had a bandana around your neck. Tell me about him.
Well, first of all, I'll get to Jared, and hopefully I'll be able to hold it together, because I'll never, ever be able to rethink or understand how he did what he did. But there were a lot of people in the Des Moines area. We formed a team early on, and I'd mention one, but I would then forget to mention another. But most of them are probably listening, and I wouldn't have made it without them. So it's a huge thank you to them. Jared, though, you know, I had the easy part. I just had to run. I can't imagine driving an RV a mile or two at a time, waiting. I come by, I give him a thumbs up, or I stop, waiting. I mean, and the guy is a phenomenal cook. I don't think I've ever eaten that good in my whole life. So, you know, I wish I could have found a way to stay out there, because the guy's so talented. It got so hot. One day, my feet literally were starting to burn. The pavement temperature was probably 120 or 30. And he's like, no problem. Let's just ventilate your shoes. And he takes one of his power drills and he drills a, you know, 25 little teeny holes in the bottom of my shoes so my feet can breathe. I mean, I could go on forever, but I'll never be able to thank that guy enough. I don't make it without him, and I hope he knows how much I appreciate it.
And why do you think, I guess I should have Jared here, but why do you think this was important enough of a journey for him to take time out of his life to accompany you?
I'd like to think that we all love being around people that are living their life to the fullest. Our community here in Des Moines, our bike community, our running community, they're extraordinary, and they're so supportive. And I wouldn't go anywhere else. I wouldn't live anywhere else. They inspire me because of they're always on the move. They're always doing things, and it makes it fun to be around them. And so I can't speak for Jared. I think it was a big adventure for him, and I'm sure he learned a lot about himself on that and took a lot of pride in it. Tobin, Kim, Brewer. Oh, my gosh, the list would go on and on of these people that supported me. Heather, I'd never be able to thank them all. I'll forget. I know I'm forgetting all kinds of names. I'm sorry about that, but they're the best.
You set out from Chicago, and I know that you have family in Chicago. That's where you were close to Chicago when you had the idea. But why Navy Pier? Why was that the spot you wanted to start from?
Navy Pier was a logical point because it's just a big landmark. But it turns out I have a great friend, Ryan Nestor, in Chicago, and he had connections at Harry Carey's. And so that made it extra special. My mom and my grandparents are the reason that I'm not in jail somewhere. They stuck by me when there was probably no reason to. Making a lot of bad decisions in my life. But my grandparents were huge Cub fans. I can remember my grandma listening to the Cubs games on her radio and Harry Carey. And so that became a really cool thing. And I know that they would have really enjoyed that part of it.
That day, that first day, you're in the city. And it is so hot. And you've made a kind of a ceremony of setting out. So what time of day did you start running?
We started, I believe, at 9 o'clock. I would have loved to have started probably at 5 to beat the heat. It was and still is the hottest Memorial Day in Chicago history, depending on what bank clock you believed. And I know those sit over the pavement, and so they get a little – but even the lowest temperature I heard was 103. Tobin at one point, I think his bike computer said like 112.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had a lot of people there. There were people that I expected to be there, and then people who I hadn't seen in years that showed up to be there. And so we all wanted to share in that. So we took off a little later than we probably would have, but – you know, I had 40 days. 2 hours wasn't going to make a difference.
Well, and somebody pointed out that you ran your first marathon of a 40-day marathon journey in the same kind of heat that had caused them to cancel the Madison Marathon. So, so you were out there starting this journey in the kind of heat that other people were saying, this is dangerous. We can't allow people to run in this kind of heat. And in the city, anybody who's ever run in a city knows that it's a lot hotter in the city than it is out where you can be on a soft trail and get some breezes.
It was plenty warm, but in fairness to the people in the Madison Marathon, they didn't have a support driver in a RV waiting every 2 miles with liquid and AC if you needed it. So I had it way easier than those people.
I'm talking with Steve Cannon. His book is 40 Days, My 1,037-Mile Run Around Lake Michigan. And Steve, when you get ready for a marathon or a long run, there's a period called a taper before the run that is supposed to give your body an opportunity to kind of be in its best shape possible before the event. Now, to run an ultra like this, to run 40 marathons in a row, you'd been putting in an incredible amount of miles. And when you started, you weren't exactly in perfect condition. You had plantar fasciitis on both of your feet?
I did. I didn't have a real bad case of it. Now, that being said, in the morning, when things are really, really stiff, you had to be very, very careful before kind of the blood got to that area. That was always the most difficult part of the day for 100 different reasons, but you'd have to take it real slow. Those tendons, whatever, I'm no doctor, far from it, could pop. And so it wasn't very pleasant early in the morning, but...
Well, and you write often that the three steps in the RV from your bed to the bathroom were the hardest three steps of any day.
That was it. I always felt like if I can get to the bathroom and not have the feet give out, then I had a fighting chance to make the day.
One of the other big challenges that, gosh, I hadn't ever thought to consider a challenge, but was trying to eat enough throughout the journey because of the incredible amount of calories you were burning every day. How much did you have to eat every day?
It was impossible to get what I needed. I'd been fortunate to have some testing done, and I was burning 500 or 600 calories an hour. So my coach had set a goal of 8,000 per day, knowing that that would be pretty much impossible. But we tried our best. The heat made it really challenging. As you get really hot, your stomach starts to shut down. Over time, everything starts to shut down. But again, the lake saved me. I formed a bond with that lake. The water was cold, and I mean really cold. But just sort of by accident, in the middle of the second day, it was so hot, we got to this beach. And so I was just like, I'm getting in that damn water. I'm cooked, man. And getting in there, it brought my body temperature down, and I went from not having any appetite. Literally, I got back in the RV, and I couldn't stop eating. And so that unlocked a really big secret for me. So the lake, again, it's kind of difficult to describe, but there's a bond there. I wouldn't have made it without the lake.
this journey was largely to prove that you could do this, but also you were raising money for cancer research at the same time. You raised over $30,000 over the course of this journey. And along the way, you got some very bad news about your uncle Mike. Can you tell me what happened?
Wow, I wasn't expecting you to pull that. So my mother's family has had a tough go of it, as have many with this disease. My aunt died of cancer when I was really young, too young to really soak it all in. I just remember going into the hospital room and seeing what was a really difficult thing to see and understand. My uncle Mike had been sick, but they weren't sure really what. And eventually they were able to diagnose that he had a stomach cancer. I got that news in the middle of the run. And then they had given him, I think, a couple months, which a couple days later turned into a couple weeks. And I think it was 7 to 10 days later, he actually died while I was on the run.
When you talked to your mom and you got the news, you told her, "Mom, I'm coming home." And she told you to stay where you were. She told you that your Uncle Mike was proud of you and he knew what you were doing and he would have wanted you to stay on that run. How did that change the run for you?
It hits certainly much closer to home. What do you say when you get that call? What do you say when your mom will have nothing to do with you coming home and says those type of things to you? It's well documented in the book. My mother is, I'm sure everybody feels the same. My mother's a saint. She should have given up on me 1,000 times, but I'm sure that's just something that mothers don't do. But, that changes the run. You feel like you're really as into it as you can be. You're exchanging messages with people that are in the fight. They're telling you what it means and how it inspires them. But certainly, the rest of that day and many, many times since then, I think of my Aunt Barbara, I think of my Uncle Mike, and I can remember running that day and thinking, come on in, Uncle Mike, you can have my legs. You can run pain-free now. And it's difficult to explain, but I felt like I wasn't running anymore, that he was getting to run, that my legs were his legs, And so it changed things.
You completed that run in 40 days. You ended up right where you started on Navy Pier. You had family come from all over the place to come and see you and join in that celebration. We only have about a minute left, but I'm curious about what happened next. You must have been so physically exhausted, so emotionally exhausted. How long did it take you to recover from this?
It's a great question, and it could take way more than a minute. But I'll tell you, standing on Navy Pier, if someone had given me a check and said, "Here, man, go run around another lake," I could have done it the rest of my life. My body had adapted to it. I wasn't going to set any records. I wasn't going to be running 4-hour marathons, anything like that. But my body was in a place and my mind was in a place, I could have run forever. And I would have been happy to do so. The connection was so fantastic. Now, once I left and my body knew it was over, it went into, recovery. And you think you're kind of all there. And we've had some good laughs between friends. Like, dude, you were kind of out there for a while when when you got back. But again... it gave me a ledge that I could see a better version of myself. And so I looked to the future to figure out what's next, and I have a few things in mind, and hopefully you'll have me back and I could share it with you sometime.
Absolutely. We would love to hear about your adventures, and I hear on Twitter that you were out long-distance snow biking just last weekend. So
another story for another time.
Right. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Steve Cannon of Des Moines. His book is 40 Days, My 1,037-Mile Run Around Lake Michigan. He became the first person to run all around Lake Michigan the summer of 2012. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.